This world is not my home, a very, very fitting song for Brother DeMel to lead, and he did not know the title of my lesson, so I appreciate him for his song selection there. I believe that when we look at God's Word, and we understand some things that we need to be doing, many times we want to push those things aside and we want to say, I'll take care of them later. I will take care of them later. We know that Brother Gabe lost his mother a week and a day ago. The lady across the street from us, Miss Southers, our landlord, died a week and a half ago. And you have to wonder sometimes, you know, have people done what they're supposed to do in life? In life. For we know and understand that after life, the only thing is left is judgment. We will be judged according to all that we have done in this body. The good deeds and the bad deeds. The things according to God's word. He's going to judge us by the book. But we also know and we understand as we asked people, tell people, get your life in order. Have you had a will made out? Have you gotten rid of what you want to get rid of? And have you talked to the people that you need to talk to? Have you wronged or right somewhere down the line? Have you put Christ on in baptism? And they were asked that question, why? Why do I need to do those things? Why do I need to do those things? And we tell them, as it was told to Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20 and verse 1, you're sick. You will not recover. These are the words of the Lord that came to Hezekiah. You're sick. You will not recover. Hezekiah, set your house in order. Set your house in order. And if someone came to you and told you that you're dying, you're never going to recover from what you're going through, set your house in order. How many of us will do as Hezekiah did in the very beginning? Hezekiah turned toward the wall. You know, it's a sign of being depressed about what you've heard. But that wasn't the end of Hezekiah's life. Hezekiah was given some instruction on some things that he needed to do. And Hezekiah was told, you do these things and God will give you 15 more years. How many of us would appreciate that? You know, the doctors don't know everything. I just want y'all to know that right now. Amen. The doctors tell you have a week to live. You need to make some phone calls. You need to do this. You need to do that. And someone come behind that doctor and say, you're not going to die. You have 15 more years. Now, how would that make you feel? First off, you get mad at the doctor for telling you that you only have a week to live. And then you get mad at God because God is in control of life and death. But then this person comes in and tells you, because the doctor already told you, you know, get your house in order. Do what you need to do. Make those phone calls. Get right with the people that you have been distant from a long time. Get those things right. Somebody come in and say, you're not going to die. You got, and then all of a sudden you get all excited and you forget about those phone calls. You forget about calling those people that you haven't talked to in a long time. You forget about setting your house in order. You forget about, if you have not done it, putting the Lord on, because now you have 15 more years. James says, what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanish it away. We need to think about God's Word. We need to think about everything that God has told us in His Word. And we need to make sure that as we're looking at His Word and we're saying, I need to fix what is wrong in my life. We need to consider that. Remember getting the phone call about my grandmother and, hey, Big Mama has 3 months to live. Called back a couple of days later, Big Mama has 3 weeks to live. A couple of days later, you get a call, Big Mama has 3 days to live. You know what happened to Big Mama? I was in the room, and I said, you need to say your goodbyes right now. And you know what it was? It was about 3 seconds that Big Mama had to live. We do not know. But what we do know is that God has given us time after time after time to get our houses in order. And we need to do that. Why? Because you shall die. You shall die. It was spoken to an individual, but guess what? It's universally true for each one of us. We are going to die one day. It is not if I die, it's when I die. Oh, if I die, you can have this. If I die, you can have it. No, when I die, you can have this. Or when I die, you can have that. There's so many people that fight over stuff that they shouldn't even be worried about. Shouldn't worry about those things. But they fight about those things. So we tell them, when I die, you can have it. Not before. When I die. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. We need to think about the very idea of us dying. And the reason, you know, death, the Bible tells us here, therefore, just as Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. All men. Because all sinned. This is true. In the very beginning, God had told Adam, do not eat from the tree that's in the midst of the garden, for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Surely die. And we need to understand that Adam did die. Not only Adam, but others through life, through time, have died. Have died. Have died. And we too, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, to judgment. We need to understand that. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. All shall be made alive. Now we need to know that when we have done what was wrong and we die, that we're never going to live again. We're never going to be able to experience that time that others would spend in eternity with our God. We're not going to be able to do that. But we need to know that just as it was told to Adam that you will die, that each man that lives or have lived will experience death. Now that spiritual death that they went through, everybody don't have to go through that. But some choose to do wrong, so therefore they are separated away from God because of a sin that they have committed. But everybody, you shall die. Maybe it's because of a disease. And we hear that all the time. He has this disease and he's not going to recover. It was now he had a terrible accident. He was hit by a train and he lost his life. We hear those things. He was murdered. I was listening to someone earlier today and they were talking about the neighborhood in which they live. They said, man, we got so many killers in our neighborhood. Individuals are being murdered. Suicide. Man, Anita was reading something to me earlier today. And it was about a Church of Christ in Tennessee where a gunman went in and he started shooting up some people. And one individual tried to address the situation and got pistol whipped. And another individual went outside and got his gun to come back and confront the man. The man committed suicide. Suicide is a way that some take, is a way that people take their own lives. That individual has died. How did he die? He took his own life. And then decay. You know, this old body is not going to last forever. You know, we may not have a disease. We may not have an accident. We may not get murdered. We may not commit suicide. But this old body wears out. And it gets to a point where it just can't live any longer. Death is coming our way. So we need to prepare for it. Set your house in order. What does death mean? What does death mean? You know, some little children would ask this question and some adults would ask, what does death mean? Mama, daddy, tell me, what does it mean? What's wrong with grandma? What's wrong with grandpa? What's wrong with mama? What's wrong with daddy? Oh, they're dead, baby. What could you tell me what that means? Could you tell me what that means? That we have to explain to them. Let's not, you know, try to sugarcoat it. You know, of course, the Bible tells us, you know, let's not think any different than these individuals, but they are asleep. They are asleep, but we need to explain that because grandma didn't come home last night. Grandpa didn't come home last night. Well, baby, they just not sleeping, but they're dead. They're dead. And let's be honest with them. Sometimes they don't die, we'll get to that in just a moment. It's severance of all earthly ties. Baby, you're not going to get to talk to grandma no more. You're not going to get to talk to your husband anymore. You're not going to get to talk to your wife. You're not going to get to talk to your children. You know, there are many people that will go to the graveyards and they'll sit there and they'll talk to this individual all day long, to a piece of ground they're talking to all day long, and they're getting no response. But it makes them feel good. Some things that we should do while we're living. Because death is severance of all earthly ties. Do we really understand that? But is there someone in your family right now that you're fighting with, that you're quarreling with, that, you know, you just can't get along with? You haven't spoken to them in years. You may want to change that. You may want to pick up the phone after services. You may want to give them a call. Or if they live somewhere near you, you may want to drop by their house and say, you know, I know we have been having some problems. I know that we don't see eye to eye. And we need to let them know, I love you. And I'm here in order to set some wrongs right. I'm here to establish a relationship with you once again. Maybe it's someone that has strayed away from the fold, and we know good and well what the scriptures teach us, that we should not keep company with them. But have you had the opportunity and past opportunity by to talk to them about getting their lives in order, because you do not want them to go to the grave without doing so? Have you done those things? If not, why not? What does death mean? Romans chapter 7 and the verses 2. Romans chapter 7 and the verses 2. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But after the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. As long as he's living, she's bound to him. But after he dies, don't have to worry about it. You know, we have to learn to speak sometime in past tense. And I remember my dad was sitting at the breakfast table, and this individual had died, and someone coming in and was talking about this individual as though he was still living. And my dad just quickly, you know, he was sort of quick-witted at times, and he mentioned right then what he used to be. What he was saying is he's no longer living. He's dead. And that's the way we need to accept things, that people are going to die and we have to accept those things. Not get mad about them, but accept them. And realize that they have been severance from all earthly ties. We will never get our opportunity to talk to them, sitting down face to face with them, having good times, sitting around drinking coffee or sitting around eating a good meal, or even sitting in a worship setting with those individuals again here in this life. We're going to have to understand that. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. Last earthly act before judgment. That's what we need to think about. That's life, isn't it? The last earthly act before judgment is what? Death. Is that true? That's what the Bible says, isn't it? It tells us that and it is appointed to man once to die, and after this the judgment, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. You know, we sometimes we think about death, we think about it that it's a very unkind thing. But it's something that we have to go through. And when we go through it, there's nothing we can do to change anything that we have done, because now we're dead. So we need to understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verses 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done, where? In the body. Talking about living now in the body. We're going to receive those things according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad. While you're living again, you have an opportunity to get things right with whoever. You have an opportunity to get things right with God. But after death, it is too late. All you're going to do after you die, you're going to go to the Hadean realm, whether it's paradise or torment, and you're going to rise on that last day to stand before the judgment seat and give an account of what you have done. We will give an account of what we're done, whether good or whether bad. Now, by these brief definitions right here with Scripture, can you tell an individual what death is all about? Can you tell them? And the answer should be, yes, I can. I can. I can tell someone. But let's continue. Let's continue. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, the scripture reading that was read. No escape from death. I don't care where you run, you're not going to be able to escape death. Oh, the doctor told you you're going to die and you need to get to a better climate. And you run and you go to a better climate. But guess what? One day you're still going to die, even in that better climate. The doctor tell you, you know, you need to start working out just a little bit better. You need to eat healthier. You need to exercise just a little bit more. You know what's going to happen? You're still going to die one day. A man, he maxed his PT test, his annual physical fitness test. He maxed it, went and sat on a stump and died. You know what? As he finished that PT test, people were like, man, that guy is good. Look, he is in excellent shape. Just because he's in excellent shape doesn't say anything about his health, does it? He died on that day. We have to prepare for death. We have to prepare for death. The Bible tells us again here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, all things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, to the clean, the unclean, to him who sacrifices and to him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath as he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. We were riding through Cave Hill Cemetery yesterday and looking at those big monuments out there that they have erected for people. And one individual said, man, those were some rich people. Whenever I drive through there, I always have to think about what's on the other side of that wall. Have y'all ever drove through Cave Hill Cemetery? If so, so be it. If you haven't never driven through it, take an opportunity to drive through it and then go and drive through that other cemetery that they don't take care of. And you have to think, what type of people were buried over in the other cemetery? I'm going to tell you what type of people. The same type of people that are buried in Cave Hill are buried over in the other one. Rich people, poor people, fat people, skinny people, white people, black people. They're all down there in the graves. Why? Young people, old people. Why? Because the Bible says all shall die. All shall die. If you don't believe that, here's what I would like for you to do. Keep on living. Keep on living. You know what's going to happen one day? You will die. You will die. You know, people talk about Brother Mark, they open up their obituary to see if their name is in there. One day they're not going to be able to do that. But you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to open up that obituary and they're going to see that other person's name. I was talking to my uncle right before services, and he was telling me that he had saw Miss Souther's obituary in the newspaper. It's going to, if you give the information to the funeral home, to the directors there, they're going to put it in the newspaper if that's where you want it. But here's what we should really want. Not necessarily for our names to be in a newspaper up under the obit section, but we should want our names to be in the book of life. We should want to do right. We should want to get not just our physical house in order, but we should want to get our spiritual houses in order. Because that is what is going to be able to live on after we we die in this life. What does death mean? It's not the end of life. It is not the end of life. And you say, well, you just said that death is a separation from life, a severance from all ties, earthly ties. Earthly ties. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 26. James chapter 2 and the verses 26. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So we got some individuals that have not died yet, but yet they're spiritually separated away from God. So it's not the end of life, as you one may think. He's dead. You know, there's nothing that he has to look forward to. I'm thinking right now, when I die, I'm looking forward to that great day where the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm thinking of that day. I'm thinking of being told to enter in, my good and faithful servant. I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking about being around the throne, worshiping our God. I'm thinking about that right now. It's not the end of life. We're looking for and we're thinking about eternal life. It's just the end of life in this fleshly body. That's what death is all about. A separation from this physical body. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir up by the way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of this earthly dwelling is imminent. It is going to happen. So we need to stir up in individuals, in their minds, in their lives. We need to stir up that they may do the things that are right, that they may focus on the Word of God, and they may place God first in their lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That individuals may do these things. That they may say, I don't no longer want to live that type of lifestyle. I want to be a child of God. I want to follow His Word. Jesus, I love You. Therefore, I am going to keep Your commandments. We need to think about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the verses 1. But we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have a house. You don't know, we have to think about this. We have to think about our citizenship. Where is it? If we're always just looking at things upon this earth and we're never focusing on the things that God has in store for us, we will never get there. We will never get there because we have our priorities backwards. We have them backwards. And when I say that, you know, telling you right now that there are so many people want to do everything that they can. And at the last moment, they want to give 5 minutes to God. That's it. You got it backwards. Have it backwards. We need to give more time to God than we give to anything else. Meditate on His Word day and night. Meditate on His Word. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Oh, we'll rather just look at TV all day instead of pray all day. We'll rather do anything but give time to God. Spend time with everybody out there in the world. Never spend time with children of the Lord. We need to change our way of thinking. Eternal life is what we're looking for. We're looking for eternal life because it has been promised to us. Those that die in the Lord will have eternal life. Those that do not will have eternal damnation. Eternal. Forever. No end to it. So what do you want today? What do you want? Set your house in order. It's a fitting command, isn't it? That was given to Hezekiah. Set your house in order. For you will not recover. What can you do? Someone tell you that, what are you going to do? You know, they got this thing called a bucket list. Is there anything that anybody here got on their bucket list that they haven't completed yet? You may want to try to get to it. Because tomorrow's not yours. I don't have a bucket list. I live each day as it comes. You know, yeah, I got some things that I want to do, and I may never get to do those things. If I don't, so be it. So be it. But we need to understand that this is a fitting command to set your house in order. Regarding material things, yes, we need to get those things in order. We don't want to leave anything behind without being in order and allow someone to be fussing and fighting over those things and lose their soul. So it's a fitting command to get your house in order. Business affairs, funeral arrangements. You know, a lot of times, here's what my mom would say. Oh, I ain't worried about that. I'm going to be dead. I'm going to leave that up to you all. My mom is cold-hearted. If y'all haven't never met her, she's cold-hearted. The doctor asked her that one time, "How's your heart?" She said, "It's cold." Simple as that. Get a chance to talk to her if you haven't ever talked to her before. She'll express that to you one way or another. Just have to know her. Regarding human relationships, Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Regarding human relationships. What are you saying? You mean telling me we had to get those things in order too? Yes, I already told you. Some people that you haven't talked to in a while, you need to talk to them. You need to get those things straightened out in order for people to know who you are. You should be acting as a child of God because that's who we proclaim to be. Romans chapter 13 and the verse is 8. Romans 13 and the verse is 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. We leave, you know, some bills behind. And we say, "Oh, I'm not going to worry about that. You know, matter of fact, doc told me I'm dying. My credit is so good. I'm just going to go buy up a whole lot of stuff. Let someone else worry about it." We do that. Why? Because we're people. We act like that. You know, some people, they want to file bankruptcy. Right before they file bankruptcy, they go and they do a whole lot of things that they should not do. And then they die, and a lot of times someone else's name is on those notes too, and they are responsible for them. You'll mess someone else up. So we have to set these things in order. In the book of Romans chapter 12, in the verses 17. Romans chapter 12, in the verses 17. Repay no one for evil, repay no one for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all. This is a great, you know, admonition here. This is something that we need to consider, to live peaceably with all. You know, if a man wants you to live in peace with him, if he's giving you an opportunity, do so. If he does something bad to you, don't turn around and do something bad to him. Do something good for him. Love him as Jesus has loved us. We need to understand these things, and we need to do what is right. Regarding the divine relationship, this is that relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Spirit. We need that relationship. When it's told to set your house in order, this probably should be one of the first things that we should think about. How is my relationship with God? Have you had the opportunity to ask someone that was dying? Do you have a relationship with God? Are you a member of the Lord's church? If not, how would you like to become a member? I remember a lady was on her deathbed, and we asked her a very simple question because she had strayed away from the church. We went by to visit with her, and we asked her, "Are you willing to ask God to forgive you for your sins?" And you know what she said? She said no. She said no. Dying, knowing she is separated away from God, she said no. What more can you do? What more can you do? You know, we can pray for you, but if you're not willing to pray for yourself, there's nothing we can do. You're going to have to stand before the judgment seat. You're going to have to give an account for what you've done. So let's get our lives in order. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, it talks about baptism. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it talks about baptism. Acts chapter 8, 22 to 23, it talks about baptism. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it talks about getting your house in order. You have a sin that's running rapid in your life, get it right with God. Get it right with Him. If you're not willing to get it right with Him, guess what's going to happen? On the end, on that last day, He is going to tell you, "Depart from me. I don't know you." It's because of the wicked things that you have done. It's because of your attitude. When you had the opportunity to do right, you did not do it. You did not do it. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want to encourage you to get your house in order. Make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Put Him on through baptism, as Brother Trey did this morning. If you have a sin, you are a member of the Lord's church and you have sin, let's get that sin right. As Sister Janetta did on this evening. You know, it's good to have people that understand what they need to do in order to get their houses in order. We can think about some people, you know, that we lost recently that did things to get their houses in order. We too must think about those things and get our houses in order. Let's not leave anything undone. Let's cross every T and let's dot every I. If there's something that you are, you know, not sure of, let's be sure of that. You know, if you know, I remember doing something against this person right here, and I can't quite remember getting that right. Go to them. If they tell you, you know, you've already gotten that right, say, thank you. I just wanted to make sure. If you owe someone something, go to that person and pay them. If they say, you've already paid me, don't pay them again. But go to them and check those things out. We need to set our houses in order. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Put Christ on through baptism and live faithful. For in the end, once again, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Are you ready? If not, why not? As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.